Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. I want to title my message this evening, Lying Around. Lying Around. What'd y'all hear me say? Lying Around. Hello? What was it? What did you hear me say, though? Are you lying around? I'm going to preach on L-I-O-N, around. Lying around. Okay? Because he is around every corner. But I'm going to prove to you, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is within you than he is in the world. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am so thankful for men like Daniel that gives us the courage to stand in all adversity. Daniel was courageous enough to stand on what he believed. He wasn't just lying around, but actively doing the work of the Lord in the midst of lions around. Daniel chapter 6 again, beginning at verse number 1, and it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, then the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Keeping watch in every aspect of the king's life to make sure everything was covered. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Listen, because he had an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and princesses sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch he was faithful. Neither were there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find against him concerning the law of God or his relationship with God. I like that part. They couldn't find anything because Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was faithful, but they sought to find an occasion, and the only thing they could find was concerning his relationship with God. I have a question for you in the midst of this scripture. If we were accused of loving God above everything else, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Then these presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Sucking up to the king. Don't you just love people that does stuff like that? And the presidents of the kingdom and governors and princes and counselors and the captains have counseled together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whatsoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Manipulation. The greatest tool that the devil has on you is manipulation. God don't love you. Look at what you did. He can't love someone that has done that. But I'm telling you, the grace of God covers a multitude of sins. And the blood of Jesus, what the McDaniels just sung about, covers a multitude of sins. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writings, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. Wherefore, Darius King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10. And then Daniel knew Now Daniel, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knee 3 times a day and prayed, give thanks to God, before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I believe it was last week or the week before I preached to you about Daniel and his 3 buddies. And because of their success, it was simply because, hang with me, I'm okay. It was simply because they had made up their mind aforetime, already before it happened. And my goal and my desire, and I know God is with us, is for us to make up our mind we're going to serve God regardless of what comes our way, what circumstances is ahead of us. God wants us to make up our mind aforetime. I'm here to tell you, when circumstance come our way, that we're going to be thrown into a lion's den. You're not going to have any time to consider or to evaluate the situation. You're going to have to know aforetime what you're going to do about the situation. Daniel knew the plot that they was doing. And yet, after he knew that this king had signed the decree, he went to his room and he called out to God like he did all the times before. I just want you to know that as Daniel did not succumb to the threats of his enemies, neither we as a child of God, regardless of how many lions are laying around, regardless of how many of them are lurking in your territory, we cannot change our faith and we cannot change our status in Almighty God. We got to make up our mind and we got to make sure that we know who we are and in whom we trust. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. Daniel was not intimidated by his colleagues, nor the signature of the king. You see, how can one be afraid of a den full of lions when we serve the lion tamer? Amen. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. Man, I'm about ready to shout. I'm not kidding you. I believe what I preach. I said, I believe what I preach. I believe what I'm telling you. How can we be afraid of the den full of lions when we serve the lion tamer? The true, the one, and the only lion that is the head of the tribe of Judah. Stay with me. I got some things to share with you. I want you to know that in the wild, the superior head lion roars to let the other lions know who's the boss, and they better stay out of the way. So the next time that Satan comes prowling around, He has been given the verbiage that he is like a lion that goes around roaring, seeking whom he may devour. So the next time that Satan is lying around, prowling around your territory, send Jesus, the boss of all lions. The lion who was not intimidated by your sins, but he was willing to take them all upon himself. Listen, you need to get that. The lion of Judah, who was not intimidated by the sins of the world, took them all on his shoulder, went to the cross to pay the price through his blood that was shed. He was not intimidated by your sins. And he come in the flesh. Jesus Christ came in the flesh to condemn sin, to absorb sin, to defeat sin, to defeat death, hell, and the grave, that sin itself would be abolished by the blood that he shed for our redemption on the cross. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7-8 said, cast all your cares upon him, Jesus, who cares for you. He said in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he is a manipulator and an imitator. Walks about seeking whom he may devour. Send Jesus. They tell me, as I've done some research, that a roar of a lion can be heard 5 miles away. That's pretty astonishing, isn't it? When I was a kid, we had some neighbors that lived way up in the field. And in the summertime, you could hear them arguing and fighting, but it wasn't 5 miles away. But you literally could. And you could hear the noise for a long ways away. But a lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. And he uses that to scare off unwanted competitors within his arena in the wild there in the jungles of Africa or wherever he may be. I'm telling you, to hear a lion roar, if you was out in the woods or the jungle somewhere and you heard a lion roar, it would scare the heebie-jeebies out of you, wouldn't it? Y'all know what that is, don't you? But can I tell you tonight, I'm giving you some advice. The devil is nothing more than an imitator. And yet his roar can be very debilitating and bring you to a place that you can no longer function if you do not know where your strength lies. If you do not know who your source is. If you have not made up your mind that you're going to follow the King of Kings. But if you walk with the King, the Lion and the Tribe of Judah, he can't scare you. He doesn't scare you. Because the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, he does not scare. He does not run. He is not intimidated by a bunch of noise or anything else as far as that goes. So my personal advice is stay close to him. Stay close to him. It will do well with you if you'll stay close to the King. Someone has used the verbiage and the term Lion King. Some has used the term King of Beasts, but I'm telling you today that we serve the King of Kings. Amen. And I'm walking with him. You missed a good opportunity to shout right there. Amen. He is the Lion in the Tribe of Judah. He is the one that is meek as a lamb, but as bold as a lion. Amen. Have you ever wondered? You ever wondered how that Jesus, the Christ, could be the Lion and the Lamb at the same time? How could he be the Lion and the Lamb at the same time? Because of who he is. His title and his character as a lion is that of a royal leader. His passion as a lamb was that of a submission servant to protect his kingdom and travel to hell and back itself to recapture what the fake lion had stolen. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody preach with me. Amen. Preach with me. God spoke to my heart concerning this. I didn't get a bit of it out of a book other than trying to figure out what a lion does in the middle of the jungle roaring because he simply wants to protect his territory. And that's all the devil wants to do. He's trying to protect his territory to scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. Yeah. Or it will debilitate you. And you won't come to church on Sunday night. You won't come to church on Wednesday night. He wants to debilitate you because he don't want you to tithe and give what God has prospered you with. Amen. He wants to debilitate you because he don't want you to be a witness on your job. He wants to try to protect his territory, but I'm here to tell you he has no business in your territory because the King of Lions has stepped in your place. The meekness of a lamb, but the strength, this is the God that we serve. That's why he tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And sometimes that's very difficult, especially in the world in which we're living today. But God spoke to my heart this morning to tell each and every one of you and those that was here that we are to stay sweet in our soul and in our spirit. Huh? I'm telling you. There was a purpose and a reason that God told us that this morning because we live in a world that is so hostile. And I know and understand there's times we have to stand up for our rights. That's Christ's tenacity as a lion. He gives us that spirit of tenacity that we ain't going to quit. We ain't going to give up. It don't matter if we lie with the lions or we're in the fiery furnace. We're not going to give up. we're going to stand true to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he is the meekness of a lamb, but the strength and the tenacity of a lion. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 4 says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look therein." The seals was on the book. If you look into Revelation and the scriptures, and you have a mental image that they're around the throne of God, and the leaders around the throne of God, and God himself and Christ and all of those around, and they look for someone. There was a book that desperately needed to be opened, and there was only a certain one that had the correct criteria to open that book. As you look, and those around, they was looking for that individual that had the right credentials. Listen, do you serve the one that has the right credentials? One of the elders saith unto me, John doing the writing, "Weep not." John was overcome with anxiety of the things that needed to be done, and no one could do it. And one of the elders said to John, "Weep not, behold the Lion," somebody say lion, "of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." This is how he can be considered the lion and the lamb at the same time. "Having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God set forth in all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Listen to me, church. I'm here today to let you know that this Jesus is no coward. Listen, he knew your sins before he was even born. And because of Adam and Eve, because through them sin entered into the world, and now all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Christ knew all of that. He knew every bit of that. And it was because of his ability and his credentials, and only him, amen, that had the proper credentials, took all your sins. Listen to me, please. Listen to me. He took all your sins. He prayed in the garden, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, any way that I can keep from going through this, let it be so. But if not, I'm willing. I'm willing to sacrifice every last drop of blood. I'm willing. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to take the beatings. I'm willing to take the humiliation. I'm willing to be nailed to that cross for Aaron Ward, for Johnny Moore, for Danny Sanderson. I'm willing to do that." Listen, if he's willing to do that, he's willing to come to your rescue where you're at right now and what's going on in your life. Does somebody agree with that? If he was willing to do that, he's willing to come to your rescue. He's willing to put the devil in his place. And the devil has no place in your territory. No place at all. Jesus is no coward. He came to reclaim and to protect what is his. And you're his. If the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and your life, you're his. And he came to protect that. And listen, when you come to protect something and you die for it, you ain't going to quit and you ain't going to give up. He came to die that we might live. He confronted Satan head on. And he commanded Satan to turn over the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and all the territory that he had claimed on you. The devil became a whipped pup, not a lion. Because Christ rose as a sacrificial lamb, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody ought to tell him, praise him and worship him and thank him right now. I said, somebody ought to thank him right now. I said, somebody ought to thank him right now. Oh, yeah. Glory. What are you being bashful about? We're in a Pentecostal church. You can get up and shout and run the aisles if you want to. Somebody ought to thank him right now. He was not a coward. He was not put back. But because of you, he comes to protect you and take back what the enemy had stolen from you. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, in whom also he made the worlds. Do you realize that God has given you the authority over the things of this earth? Who, being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know why the devil wants to intimidate you and why he hates you so much? Because when he looks at you, he sees the image of God that you was created in. Verse number 4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You know what that is? King of kings and Lord of lords. Hey, listen. There's others that may proclaim they're the king of lions, but he is the Lion King. Oh, hey, some of you kids ought to say amen to that. He is the Lion King. Glory. Revelation chapter 19. I'm almost through. All I like is finish it. Said, and I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. This is the consummation of all of this. This is because he loved you so much that he went into hell to bring back what the enemy had destroyed. And this is what's fixing to happen. And I saw heavens open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flaming fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And if I understand it right, I'm going to be one of those on that white horse that's following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the book of Revelations, 29 times there is a reference of him being a lion-like lamb. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, it speaks of him concerning the millennium, that the lamb will lay down by the lion. Lying down, not lying down. John saw him as the Lamb of God take away the sins of the world. And we see him today as the great I Am that has the ability and the qualifications and the credentials to be whatever you need. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's the great I Am. He's the Lion in the tribe of Judah. He's the Lion King. Amen. Without any music, without anything, just what I've given you tonight, can we just slip out of our seat, come to this altar, and let's just spend some time praising him. A long time ago, there was a song that said, Lord, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just come to give you praise. Can we do that tonight? For just a little bit anyway, can we come just to give him praise, just to thank him for what he's done for us?